Topping the New York Times bestseller list.
The Shack is in the top 40 bestsellers of all history.
Having sold millions of copies since its release in 2007, the novel The Shack has become a publishing phenomenon. Now a feature film based on the influential book is to be released in March of 2017. What theology does the book teach? Should faithful Christians be concerned at its impact on the church? Documentary filmmaker Paul Flynn of Megiddo Films has released his latest work, The Shack, Its Dangerous Theology and Error, in an attempt to answer these questions. To watch this film free of charge, please visit our website at megiddofilms.org. That's megiddofilms.org.
You're listening to Megiddo Radio. Megiddo Radio is a radio ministry of Megiddo Media. For more, visit our website at megiddoradio.com. That's megiddoradio.com.
Good everybody, welcome. This is Paul Flynn with Megiddo Radio for Monday, the 21st of November, 2016. Thank you all for tuning in. On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about atheism and agnosticism. And especially I'm going to be responding to a YouTube video I found about a month or two ago, but I've been meaning to cover it for a while. It was a video of a well-known British comedian by the name of Ricky Gervais, and he was talking about religion. Now, he's talking about religion in general, and I really wanted to respond to it, but it's about, what, 10 minutes long, so I said, okay, it could be a radio show. And look, if anybody agrees, maybe with Richard Gervais, I just pray that you would allow me to present the information rather than just say, oh, he's a Christian, things like that, for the sake of your eternal soul. And I'm doing this not to kind of go, hey, look how much smarter I am than you, or anything like that. But just to present to you that, look, I used to believe very, very similarly to Ricky Gervais, and he's a big fan of Richard Dawkins. There comes a point as well where just people don't want to know, and it becomes pearls before swine. There's a time. And usually we're not guilty of this. Usually we're guilty of not talking when we have an opportunity to share the gospel. I know at times I'm often guilty of this. And I ought to share the gospel more than I do. But there comes a point, if you're sharing the gospel with people and they are mocking it and blaspheming it, talks about in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Basically, they mock the scriptures and just say somebody's blaspheming and making jokes about it. There are times when Jesus remained silent before Herod and various other people. But I just pray. Look, there are people who we don't know people's hearts. We are to share the gospel wherever we get an opportunity. But then there comes a time when we don't, if that makes sense. All things are to be done to the glory of God. I was brought to Christ Jesus, not because I was clever and discovered through much. Okay, I was studying, yes, but it wasn't because of that I came to knowledge of the scriptures. It was through the work of the Spirit of God. And if we discount and hold the truth and righteousness as it talks about in Romans 1:18, discount all supernatural element, that all of society is purely what can be measured, scientism basically, of can only be measured and can be in terms of the modern scientific method. I know it goes back to Francis Bacon, but in terms of everything to be physically observed and tested, that is the totality of reality and nothing else is possible. That is also known as scientism. interesting enough, Francis Bacon didn't actually believe that. No, you know, he came up with the scientific method. He was into a lot of kind of really strange spiritual things, conjuring up demons and things like that, but I digress. Let's go through what Ricky Gervais says. Look, again, because these are very similar arguments that I've heard before. And yes, there is evidence to support the Bible, but it is not in the way that we saw on last Saturday's show with Andy Stanley or with Nabil Qureshi. The Bible is the foundation, and there is biblical ways to defend the scriptures. It's not a blind faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's not a blind faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let's start this video. I'm going to try and keep the show to an hour for the sake of time, because I'm limited on the time I have tonight. But let's go through it as quick as we possibly can and pray by the Spirit of God that we can go through this.
I think religion's greatest trick wasn't convincing some people that there was a God who was all-powerful. It was convincing everyone else that you couldn't ridicule that idea.
Yeah, two ideas put forward there. Basically that religion, and it's put in a very monolithic kind of way, convincing people that there is a God. Look, some religions don't even teach that there's a God. Hinduism teaches there's many gods. Okay, we've got Islam, Judaism, and Christianity are monotheistic religions, but there's other religions as well. Some of them teach that you are your own God and things like that. So it's not, you can't just... I'm sure he doesn't understand it like this, but it's you can't just kind of blanket think, religion. There are different religions, and they all teach different things. And just, you know, he said, oh, well, you know, how can you know which one's true? Well, okay, well, you've got true, you know, just say you've got currency. Ricky Gervais is British, and you've got a British pound. Okay, there's a lot of, you know, different forms of counterfeit currency out there. It doesn't invalidate the original currency because there's been so many attempts to make fraudulent notes and currency out of that. So that's what I often hear. The other thing he was saying that we shouldn't mock and things like that. People mock God all over the place and have done for centuries because they hate God, and since the fall of man, they have. If we look at Matthew 27, for example, and the Bible gives examples of people who mock God. Matthew 27 states the following, verse 31. And after they had mocked him, that's Jesus, and they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And just give you a different example as well, in Jude 1:18, which is a book near the end of the Bible, there's only one chapter in Jude, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, that just should walk after ungodly lusts. People mock Jesus Christ when he was on the earth, and they mock his word, and they've always mocked his word since the fall of man, because man holds the truth and righteousness, and it's ridiculous to him, because natural man does not receive the things of God. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. And literally that they hate him. They hate the word of God. They hate the light. They will not come to the light because of what it reveals. It reveals man for what he truly is, a creature in rebellion against God and in need of salvation. But man does not want to see himself as a wretched sinner, a wretched criminal before God. And he fights against those things. Convince him that it can't be mocked. What do you mean? examples. This kind of stuff is thrown out all the time. But plenty of people mock the God, the Christian God. Not as much, you could say, in Judaism, because it's maybe seen as a bit more anti-Semitic, maybe, at times. Islam, people are afraid of being killed. And in other Eastern religions, people see themselves as gods, as this multiple gods, variations of that. Again, they're not all teaching the same thing. You're talking, let's narrow down what he's really saying. Monotheistic religions have convinced them. Okay, we can eliminate things really, really fast. Judaism, modern day Judaism rejects Jesus Christ as God, claims that he was an imposter and things like that, as revealed in the Talmud. Even though all the scriptures, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, point towards Jesus Christ as being the fulfillment, over 300 prophecies pointing towards his life, death, burial, and resurrection, pointing towards without a shadow of a doubt. So that's modern-day Judaism out the window. This is based off of later rabbinical writings and traditions added to the scriptures. They don't really believe the scriptures. And then you look at Islam. Islam was based, seen as an addition onto Christianity initially. But Muhammad in Arabia teaching the people that based off of these kind of what could only be described as demonic visions, where he's frothing at them out, really, really strange things if you read about it. And he is the only person. There's nothing to authenticate Muhammad's revelations. It's not like the scriptures, the miracles of Jesus, which were authenticated, they authenticated the word of God, that this is the Messiah. The apostles had authenticating miracles to show that this was the word of God. These were the channels of divine truth. For God is not the author of confusion. It's not just here, believe this. This is religion. Just believe it. That's not biblical Christianity. And other religions might teach you that, but that's not biblical Christianity. So there's nothing to support. Islam is, it originated in the 7th century, claimed to be many things, but it is easily demonstrable to be false. It's not like, oh, how do we know which one? And then you got, so you've really gotten down to one. Christianity. Okay, let's continue. The next question Ricky Gervais has asked, do people really believe the myths they invent? And again, it's setting up a straw man. Do people believe myths? Yes. People believe all sorts of myths, like the earth is millions and millions of years old. Because they need millions and millions of years to say, oh, we don't know, and evolution, things like that. There's never been any proof for it. So how about the myth that there's no design behind DNA? The complexity of the cell, for example, more complex than New York City, the simplest cell in the human body. One single protein pathway fails, the entire cell dies. And we're supposed to believe that this came about through random chance. And I know they probably say, oh, well, in the science world, random means something else. Doesn't actually mean that. I've heard these kind of arguments to death. Many different people say, oh, you fool, you don't really understand it. If I find a building, I don't think that it took millions of years to come about. I think somebody built it and designed it. If I find a book, I think somebody wrote it. And if I find anything, there is a design behind it. It's simple logic. But we don't know this. I don't have to convince Ricky Gervais or anybody else, or even you, if you're listening to this and you agree with Ricky Gervais. I don't have to convince you. You know that God exists. You have the law of God written in your heart, and you suppress the truth and righteousness. You've been created in God's image. You know you've broken God's law. What is clear to you, and you hate it if you're unconverted, is there is a God. You've broken his law. Now it comes to the point, well, how do you know the scriptures is the truth and not anything else? Well, prophecy. Isaiah 46. Again, it is not a blind faith. Isaiah 46. We'll get back onto the video in a second. Remember the former things of old. This is verse 9 of Isaiah 46. For I am God and there is none else. For I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and the ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I propose it. I will also do it. Basically, summarizing down. I will bring together all my pleasure, basically, whatsoever I've called to pass, which will prove that I am the true God. There's about 30% of the Bible is prophetic, telling you in advance what will come to pass. So it would be very easy to prove the scriptures wrong. But here's the thing. Over 300 prophecies relating to the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read Isaiah 53, written about 700 years before Christ. Isaiah 20, Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and my feet, it says. In a mystical sense, referring to Jesus Christ, pointed towards crucifixion in Psalm 22, written some 1,000 years before Christ, and written hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented by the Romans. There are only two examples. You show Isaiah 53 to anybody who's being somewhat honest, it's referring to Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. This whole, and I've had this even discussions, I teach English as a foreign language, people sometimes have discussions about things, and I'll say this, you're presuming that there's no evidence to support the Bible. Prophecy. There is reasons. Because God is not the author of confusion. If it's like, oh, just believe me and we don't know which one to believe, that is confusion. And that is not biblical Christianity. So he says, do they really believe the myths they invent? Well, if you deny the revealed will of God, you'll be left with mythology. That man is in control of his own destiny.
It's when you get them. I think there'd be more atheists and less faithful if you weren't allowed to teach anything, you weren't allowed to mention any gods or any beliefs or atheism, right, until they were 20. I think we'd see a different pattern.
It's an impossibility. You will teach a religion some way, shape, or form. If you do what he's saying now, okay. So you don't teach any gods, you don't even mention anything. Well, you teach this. God doesn't matter. He's not important. That's what you teach about God. That he's inconsequential. It's not. You teach children, it's not important. So this whole thing that you can be completely neutral and kids can make up their mind later on. No, there's original sin and they hate the truth and they're born in iniquity. Psalm 51 talks about, and none seeketh after God, no, not one. Romans 3, Psalm 14 talks about this as well. But apart from that, right, it's impossible to be neutral in this, because you teach something about God by the way you live. If you don't teach anything or don't even mention anything about God, then you're saying God is not important and God is not in all our thoughts. Don't even mention atheism. That is atheism. You don't have to mention atheism. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1. So whenever there's an... Children are naturally inquisitive, are they not? They will actually ask, where did this come from? How did this happen? And we're just supposed to say, I don't know. But God didn't do it. We know. I again, don't get into massive debates on the street about this. People are not being honest when they say that they don't believe that God exists. They know that God exists. They just don't like the God of the scriptures. You present the God of the scriptures, he is holy, he's just, he'll punish sin. He's of infinite worth, infinitely good, and even the smallest transgression would warrant an eternity in hell. They would not want that God because they love their sin and they hate the light. They need to be born again. Jesus said to the religious Pharisee, Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born anew. You must be born from on high." Although it's a moral issue, this is not an intellectual, it's a moral issue because the God of the atheist to say, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll prove that God exists sometime. It's a God in their own imagination. That's the only God that they're willing to accept. And it is a God that does not exist. A God that they can reduce down to their own imagination is not a God that exists. A God that is far above our thoughts, higher than the heavens, higher above all ways, that is holy and just and far beyond our comprehension. That is the true God of the scriptures.
The human brain, when it's young, is a sponge. It has to be. It has to take in all the information. It has to trust its parents, its elders, to survive. Without question, don't touch the fire. Why not? Don't go near the club. Don't go near the wolf. Don't touch that spider with a red bit. Don't touch that. Why not? Just don't. There is a God. What? There is a God.
I'm not aware if anybody does this with spider or fire. Well, you get burnt. This is a complete straw man. And for somebody who's claiming to be really intellectual and really smart, this is silly. I'm not aware of anybody, even kind of slightly strange people, who would talk like this. Oh, by the way, there is a God. Children know that there's a God. But if you present a God to them where they have to repent of their sin, turn from their idols, whatever it is, computer games or whatever else they're dedicating their lives towards, they won't be interested. Again, this is a silly representation. Doesn't matter what religion you are, if somebody's really faithful to that religion and they're teaching their children, they're going to go through the precepts of it. Many religions I don't agree with, and they will go through the precepts of it. Okay, there'll be hypocrisy and things like that. Of course, there will. People know there's a God. It's written on our hearts. We've been created in the image of God. We know from creation, talks about in Romans chapter 1, describes this beautifully. We know from the creation that there is a creator. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. This is Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Ricky Gervais or anybody else who agrees with him, you have no excuse. None. You can see from the world around you that there's a God. You know from the law of God written in your heart, you created in the image of God, that you've broken God's law. And we have prophecy to show in the scriptures that the scriptures are the only, this is the perfect and revealed word of God. It's not just, believe this, that's it, nothing else. Well, don't read Daniel. Daniel talks about four major world empires, often hundreds of years before they even happened. But the Roman Empire, how it would be unified at the beginning and then split into two, that happened. Daniel is an incredible book. No, don't talk about that. Or how many prophecies, I like to look at past prophecy, not necessarily future, because it shows the uniqueness and the perfection of the word of God. This is a complete straw man, and I'm not aware of anybody who actually does this.
And if you're bad, you go to hell. Okay? And if that's constantly confirmed, like all the other things...
Yes. But, how would we put this? Yeah, if you're bad, you will go to hell. However, every single one of us, the thing is, every single one of us are bad. I'm bad. Ricky Gervais is bad. If I could take your thoughts, just your thoughts, from the last 5 minutes, stick them on a screen in front of your best friends, you'd run out of the room in sheer embarrassment for the things you've thought are so vile. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. We've all broken God's law. We've all thought things in our minds that are so filthy, so disgusting, that our best friends would renounce us if they knew what we were thinking. We are that evil. We are that wicked. And we know that these things are wrong. Why? The law of God written in our hearts. And from creation, we're without excuse. Now, these things are enough to condemn us, not enough to save us. We need the scriptures. We need, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to trust in the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who, on behalf of his people, bore their sins. And here's the thing. If you do not trust in Jesus Christ, you will bear your sins for all eternity in hell. And you will pay for every single violation of God's law. And you will deserve it. The person who is a recipient of grace, the person who's trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, receives that which he does not deserve, eternal life. And Jesus Christ bore the sin, your filth, on Calvary. And it has been paid for, tetelestai, paid in full. If you are one of those chosen before the foundation of the world, those who are the elect of God, those who trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ.
Wolves eat you, black widows kill you, fires burn you. If it's given that same level of credence and truth, you're never going to get over it. It's going to be a lot harder to undo that. I think the myths came up, maybe, you know, often as a stopgap to knowledge until we find out more. You know, the earth is flat, and now we've proved.
But it's kind of nonsense. He brings up things about fairies and Santa Claus later on, and here's the thing. I was told by my mother, you know, Santa Claus existed. And then I discovered at school years later that he didn't. And it wasn't like, he doesn't exist. Oh, it's hard to let go of. But I digress, anyway.
Now, okay, the earth's not flat, we were wrong, okay? But that's not personal. You don't take that personally. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect you.
The Bible says that the earth is a sphere. Going back, I'm not going to go for the sake of time, but Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 22. No, the Bible does not teach that the earth is flat. I'm not going to get into the whole flat earth thing. Goodness me, I just... Yeah, won't even comment on it. It's not worth my time. And by the way, if anybody sins on that kind of stuff, I'm going to completely ignore you. You're wasting your time. And most of you should go study science. There's a big movement on the internet about flat earthers. Anyway, but... these are straw men. Oh, people are stupid. This is kind of what... And people on the left do this as well. Well, you know, people are stupid. They believe the earth is flat. Now we know better. Now, at the time, people believed that. They thought they knew better. They didn't need to learn anything. Have you read the scriptures? Have you seen? Have you read Isaiah? Have you read the book of Daniel, how it predicts the future before it even happened? Have you looked into these things? Or do you feel, just like the people who believed that the earth was flat, do you believe you know it all?
Your afterlife, you know? And so they often want to hold on to that, right? But only because of the way they've been conditioned.
I love how the, you know, this kind of attributing of motivation. Here's why they do it. And they do it because of this. They do it because I just think it's supreme arrogance. I don't know why people do different things. I don't know why you're here. I can only, I just know that your arguments can be debunked and things like that. But I don't try to attribute motive. Okay, there's a hatred of God. We notice in the scriptures. But other than that, I can't just say, well, you had a traumatic childhood at five, and therefore you're acting out and you're projecting on others. Why do people believe this? Well, it's because they have this, and this just proves it all, and they're just weak-willed, and they're just a little bit silly. They're just a little bit weak. People I disagree with, I don't know their full motivations, and we should, where at all possible, unless we've got overwhelming evidence to support it, fine. But when we don't, people believe different things for different reasons. And we shouldn't broad blanket say they believe this for this reason. Some people believe what they believe because they were raised on it. Absolutely. I was not raised a Christian. I was raised in a Roman Catholic home. We didn't read the scriptures. We didn't read the Bible. I prayed to God, but I didn't know God. But when I came to Jesus Christ, March of 2009, my life changed. And I came to know a joy and a peace that passed all understanding, that led me to leave behind my life of drunkenness, my life of sin. Yes, I still, the flesh and the new man still battle it out. But don't dismiss. And this isn't about religion. This is about true, saving religion. You are not your own God. You do not get to determine your own reality. Truth is what truth is. And look, if God does not exist, then this is all meaningless and we are all random cosmic accidents. And there's no value, even in what he's saying is, this is good, this is bad, if you're doing this, this affects me. Why is that bad? There's no way to validate truth apart from God. There's no way to say something's good or bad apart from God. Otherwise, it's based on popular opinion and what you decide, because you have assumed the place of God in such a situation.
We know it's fun to tell children there's a Santa Claus. And there's fairies at the bottom of the garden. And
I disagree. I think it's lying to them. No, it's not fun. I do not teach my children that. It's a lie. So we don't. It's a ridiculous. People do that. And Christians, they're wrong. Don't lie to your children. Tell your children the truth. Because at the very least, they're going to grow up and they're going to say, well, my parents were lying to me. Are they lying about this as well?
All these cute things. It's cute till they're 7 or 8. If they're 34, it's a bit embarrassing socially. This is my son. What's he doing? He's looking for fairies. Is he? Okay, we better leave. If you're born in India, you're probably a Hindu. If you're born in America, you're probably a Christian. If you're born in Pakistan, you're probably a Muslim. That's a coincidence, isn't it?
How is this even an argument? Of course. That's what you're raised on. That's what you were taught. Well, that invalidates Christianity. And okay, yeah, it's out of a look. There's been Muslim households where teenagers who have been risked their lives have converted to Christianity because they've come to know Jesus Christ. I was not raised in a Christian home. Oh, well, does that not fit in with your... And I'm not here to defend all religion. Islam, false religions like Islam, Roman Catholicism, you know, Judaism, Talmudic Judaism, which is like modern-day Judaism, which rejects Jesus Christ as Messiah, Eastern religions. But based on the authority of Scripture, but it's not a blind faith. It is based off of the evidences we've seen Jesus Christ with the miracles and things like that, and also in prophecy. Jesus didn't just come and say, I'm God, and that's it. Lord willing, is saying this reverently. But he demonstrated that he was the prophesied one. He was the one who come and fulfill the law. It's interesting. And I'm not a big fan of C.S. Lewis, but one argument that I like from him, I don't like C.S. Lewis at all, to be honest, but he said that Jesus was either Lord, liar, or lunatic. It's clear he said what he said. That he was God, Almighty, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The New Testament, the Old Testament as well, clearly teaches this. Either that, he's a liar, or make it up. Even though he just, what a coincidence. Ricky Gervais talks about coincidences, but how about the coincidence of, oh, look at the coincidence, he fulfilled 300 prophecies. He's either a liar or a lunatic, he's crazy. There's no middle ground, and it's interesting how none of his enemies said he was a liar, that it was just parlor tricks, things like that, or a lunatic. People just say, often, Ricky Gervais is not even saying that necessarily, but often, oh, Jesus was a good man, but not God. It can't be both. If he was a good man, he was God. Or he's evil. There's no middle ground. The truth claims he made, there's no middle ground. Let's continue.
You're always born into the right God. Always.
Here's the thing. You believe you're right too, Ricky Gervais. So this is kind of a nonsense argument. You are... Well, you believe you're right too. So how does that invalidate anything? Unless you believe in multi-faith that all religions are the same and are just as valid. Yeah. Some religions will teach other... Some false religions, too, will teach other anybody believes in that will go to hell. It's not because they believe that, because they've broken the law of God. Obviously, believing falsehood is also sin as well. The scriptures declare that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, every single one of us. And we all need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've all lusted after people who are not our wives, husbands, etc. We have all lusted after things that don't belong to us, a violation of the 10th commandment. We have hated people in our hearts, violation of the 6th commandment. We have not honored our mother and our father, or anybody in authority, people in authority, violation of the 5th commandment. How many of us have broken the Sabbath? The 4th commandment. How many of us have taken the Lord's name in vain? Violation of the 3rd commandment. How many of us have brought false worship before the throne of God, or not worshipped him at all, and worshipped idols. Violation of the 2nd commandment. Worshipped idols, 1st commandment. We have broken God's law. We know this. And to say, oh, well, you know, people believe fairies. People don't want to deal with the issue, so they skirt around and go to another issue.
Isn't that lucky? I was born under the right God. All those others are going to hell. But I was born into the right religion. I'm going to heaven. It's strange that we hold on to these sort of medieval beliefs. You know, where did the universe come from? God made it.
Well, it's not medieval, just not to be nitpicking or anything, but the only thing, the only medieval religion is Islam from the 7th century Arabia. Judaism comes from, well, 4,000 years ago. About 4,000 years ago when the scriptures were Pentateuch, Book of Job, things like that. And there's manuscripts, tons of manuscripts to attest to that fact. But anyway, the date of it has no relevance.
Which doesn't solve the problem for me. Because we straight away say, well, who made God?
And if seriously? Very, very briefly, this is such a silly argument. If somebody created God, by very definition, that... it's akin to, right? Well, okay, who wrote this book? John wrote the book. Well, how did John get there? No, John wrote the book. You don't have to, logically, you don't have to explain how John got to be there in order to prove that he did it. Oh, it's John wrote his name in it, etc., and so on. This is just a simple analogy. So, silly argument. Doesn't work in any other examples. But, by definition, if God is created, he's not eternal then. God is eternal. God is all-powerful, all-knowing. So, therefore, he's uncreated. By definition. The God you are trying to debunk is not God.
They say, well, he's always been around. Well, let's just say the universe has then. Let's just cut out the middleman. It saves time.
So you're saying the universe is God. The universe is eternal. The universe created us. We came forth from the universe. Again, you have the same problem. You're just calling something else God. Oh, I'm happy with the universe. And you see a lot of these Eastern religions. And you notice when atheists express what they believe, it gets very, very similar to Eastern religions. Why? Because man is God. They determine their own reality. They determine what's right and wrong. And you see variations of it. It's not all the same with everybody. But here, the universe is God. Well, just to say the universe is eternal.
We're all born atheist, you know, and then that gets changed or enhanced.
Any scientific proof for that? No, I thought people followed the evidence, but anyway.
I mean, there shouldn't even be a word for atheism. It shouldn't exist. Shouldn't need it. There's not a word for not believing in fairies, you know? And if people...
Again, false comparative. There's no divine scriptures with prophecy and with evidence and proof for fairies. Now, the Bible does talk about angels. I don't know, be akin to like, oh well, you know, can't see gravity. Can see the effects of gravity, but can't see gravity. Gravity doesn't exist. Oh, but look at the... If the universe is eternal, by the way, why aren't people eternal? Why do we die? Oh, we just do. There's no explanation. Where do we come from? How do all our DNA support life? When if you take out one little pathway in our cell system, the cell dies. Kind of a theory that Michael J. Behe talked about, irreducible complexity. Talked about a mousetrap, you know, if you've got, what, four parts in a mousetrap? If you've got all four parts in the mousetrap, say you catch five mice in a day, or whatever number it is. You have three parts in a mousetrap, you catch zero mice. Two, zero mice. One part, zero mice. You have to have that irreducible complexity. And Stephen Hawking said, the most simplest cell in the human body is more complex. Isn't the human body, I think it was the simplest cell, like what Darwin had in his diagrams is complete fiction. Simple to sell is more complex than New York City. Anyway.
People didn't keep inventing these weird, impossible deities, we wouldn't have to go around denying them. It's a matter of degrees. If...
And we have to define what is... It's impossible. Why? Because science can't explain it. What does the word science mean? Science just means knowledge. Our knowledge, our capacity, just cannot understand it. So it's beyond our capacity, so it can't have happened. Again, you're attributing God to yourself because you're saying, I can't understand it, therefore it cannot exist. And you're attributing the characteristics of God to you.
You go around feeling good because whatever life throws at you, it'll all be okay in heaven. That's great. Doesn't affect anyone. Fine. If you pray that you'll do well at work and then you try hard and do well at work and you believe it was the praying, fine.
Well, I would disagree with that. If it's as you're saying, well, then you're believing a lie. I think what you're saying here is, well, the truth is a bit grim, is it not? And this is not why we believe the scriptures, but if what Ricky Gervais and Richard Dawkins is saying, well, life is just meaningless. We're no different than a dog or an amoeba or a banana. We're here, we'll die, and people are living like that. Human life does not matter. You'll see people on the left, they don't mind the butchering of a child. Why would you? If you believe in evolution. There's no human value attributed to life. And actually, at times, it's like they'll protest animal rights for animal testing and all this. And they'll protest at the same time pro-choice. I want to murder my baby because it's an inconvenience. Once you get past all, there's a threat to the mother's life. Basically, psychological threats, and they feel a bit depressed. That's included in some of the reasons given.
You know, we know it wasn't. We know the praying was irrelevant. We know praying without actually doing anything doesn't do anything. Praying and then work.
Look, okay, yeah. If I pray to God... And just say I pray, hypothetically, I'm a farmer and I pray for a good harvest, but I don't plant the seeds. Well, I'm not really trusting God if I don't plant the seeds. I'm saying, God, you're not going to answer the prayer anyway. But, Ricky Gervais then saying, oh, well, you know, we know that it was nothing to do with God. Why? Because I say so. Again. It's beyond my comprehension, and I say it's crazy, then it's not true, and it can't possibly be so. It's this, I determine my own reality. And what is the judge? It's experience. Would you at least, the listener would at least agree that your experience can go wrong at times? So you've got a fallible barometer testing these things of eternal importance. Would it not be important to see, for the sake of your eternal soul, if the claims of the scriptures are true? And that what the Bible says is true or false? Look, think about it like this, right? If atheism's true, the atheists are right, then Christians are being utter fools, and this is what they say as well, for dedicating their lives to a lie. And would it not be better, would not the world be better if we just tapped into our great potential for that little blip of time with it, and then we are zapped into insignificance? But always in these systems, it doesn't matter what it is, man becomes deified. It happens in communistic regimes and all this. The leader of the country becomes a kind of demagogue. If you look at the left in America crying over Hillary Clinton, because the state has become God. The state is the savior. The state is the life giver. And because the state is not right, all hope is lost. Statism. That is, the state becomes the God. And that's why socialism and atheism go hand in hand. And there's not a proper atheism, because it really is something else becomes God in its place. Because we know that there's a God, but we hate the true God. So unless there's been regeneration in the heart and we've been made a new creature in Christ, we will not turn to the true God of the scriptures.
Looking towards something, praying to me is like making a list. That's all it does. It may even motivate you. It may even, you know, it's getting your thoughts clear. Thinking there's someone hearing you and changing stuff, that's something else. But again, still not harmful. But if you start doing crazy stuff because God's telling you to, that affects me. I've got to stop you there. And if someone goes around saying there is a God and bad people go to hell, fine, doesn't affect me. If they go on saying there is a God and bad people go to hell, I'm going to help God send them to hell by stoning them to death. Whoa, he doesn't need your help. He's all powerful. Chill out. God's got this one.
Anyway, but you even notice that deep down, there's little tales. They know God exists. There's no, like, you don't have to, like, if somebody, an atheist, said, no, I don't believe God exists, there's pearls before swine. And that's the time we move on. If you're evangelizing, move on to the next person and give them a tract and try to share the gospel with them. May all evangelizing efforts be to the glory of God. The next question they're going to look at, do you think it's appropriate to encourage people to challenge their own beliefs? And I think, yes, you should challenge your own beliefs, but not in the way you think. Does the atheist challenge his own beliefs? Often not. He thinks science is the all that there is, which is just another word for knowledge. Human knowledge is all there is, and the human brain, what the human brain can comprehend and prove by physical, what I mean physically now, that is the totality of reality. You've created another religious belief. You're saying there cannot be any spiritual reality based on that. And there's a limitation in your epistemology, which is basically all that we can learn about reality is confined only to what we can measure, taste, see, and touch. Nothing else. There can be no possibility of divine revelation. Why? Because we can't comprehend that. We don't like that.
I think it's very important you challenge your own beliefs. I mean that's what science does, really. It doesn't constantly try and prove itself right. It follows the evidence, whatever that is. In fact, it tries to prove itself wrong. It doesn't.
Why do people always make it sound like science does this and science does that? Is science a person? No, science is just knowledge. Okay, there's a scientific method, you have a hypothesis, you test it, and all that kind of thing. But there's always a subjectivity built into science. We have, I'm trying to remember the principle now, it's been a while. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle, where if you look at certain particles under light, the particles actually move. We are experiencing it, even with our senses. There's a certain level of subjectivity in all that we do. And even when we set up an experiment, we set up a hypothesis, we set up likely what we expect to see, but it's still based on human faulty knowledge that can be seen with Piltdown Man, Lucy, all these so-called discoveries of evolution, which is just bones in the dirt. They don't prove anything. They don't show anything. It doesn't talk about ancestors and what they ate and all this kind of stuff. All you have is this, some bones in the dirt. And then you extrapolate on and say, oh, well, it must have come from this. Because you foist your own religious beliefs and evolution onto the evidence. So man's knowledge will always be liable to being wrong. Science is not some buddy of yours, some friend of yours, who pops over and follows, you know, they personify it. We should follow the evidence. But the science, the physical science of measuring of man is inferior to the science of God. Let's continue with the Ricky Gervais.
It doesn't sulk. When science thinks something and then it discovers it was wrong, it doesn't sulk because it found that out too. It's the question I often get that people...
This is just ridiculous. I keep hearing this kind of stuff, so I have to challenge it. How could science sulk? Science is amazing. Yeah, nobody's against science. Isaac Newton was a Bible-believing Christian. And based on there's a God and there's rules in the universe, he went about to discover how those physical laws come about. Because if you think we're all a random mess and all this kind of stuff, well, there's not going to be rules. Physical rules in the physical world. This whole idea that to believe in science and the scientific method and all this kind of stuff, that you have to be an atheist and believe that we're just a random chance came about. And if that's the case, life is meaningless. Beauty, ugliness, all are meaningless. They're completely arbitrary concepts in the mind of man, according to popular opinion and who gets to determine that? The government. Government often becomes the savior and all this kind of thing.
Say, well, you're an atheist. You know, you're closed-minded. Well, no, I'm not. You know, that's a strange thing to say. I think the opposite is true. I'm going to always follow the evidence.
How about the Bible? Have you read the Bible? Have you looked at the prophecies? Well, it's just like believing fairies.
Whatever that is. And they say things like, if someone proved to you God existed, would you believe? Well, of course I would, by definition. In fact, it would be the greatest scientific discovery of all time. Scientists would celebrate. They'd run round. At the moment, we have no evidence.
Anyway, if you could prove it, but the Bible does already prove it, but no, they wouldn't. Unless the scientists were regenerated and made new creatures in Christ. Bible couldn't give any more evidence. It's impossible. I'll put it this way. It's impossible that the Bible is not true. Do you understand me? The Bible places so much prophecy and so specific and so detailed and so precise that it would be so easy to prove it wrong. But people cannot. Another thing is, as well, if you could prove it to people and show people by miracles and signs and wonders and all this kind of stuff, that would not save somebody unless they've been regenerated. If you go to Luke 16, verse 22 to 31, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in the lifetime receivest thy good things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto you, unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Basically he's saying, oh, well, if you send them on, I have five brethren. Send somebody. If they don't come to hell, to be tormented. Abraham's like, they have Moses, they have the prophets. They don't believe them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Irrefutable evidence. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. It doesn't matter what you show to somebody like this. It doesn't matter. Unless the Spirit of God opens up your heart, you have no hope because you rail against it. And when you rail against it, you will believe myths. You will believe absurdities, and your heart will be more and more darkened and more hardened to the truth. Let's pray that people across countries will come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ, for there's nothing that restricts him, that prevents him by saving by few or by many. But may we do in such a way that will bring glory and honor to God according to the scriptures, pointing out the authority of the word of God. And may we not look to man's devices, for they will lead to absurdity. Will we try to figure out our own way? It's almost like, okay, and this is a limited analogy, but if you find a car made outside in the road and something breaks in it and you have no idea how to fix it, and you're trying to figure out which goes where, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Or you can talk to the person who designed the car, which is a better option. And I am, and that's only a limited analogy. That is why man's wisdom is foolishness. It talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In comparison with the wisdom of God. May we seek God's wisdom. May we have the heart of Solomon to seek, to have discernment. What's the difference between me and Ricky Gervais? I'm a recipient of divine mercy. Pray for this man. Pray that many, not just peoples across the world, but that nations would come into the kingdom of God. I do believe in the future. Many, many will come into the scriptures talk about this in Isaiah chapter 2, that the nations will come into the kingdom. Micah chapter 4. That the word of God will be vindicated at the end of the world. The millennium will come first, but at the end of the world. Look, I pray, if you've listened this far and you're an atheist and you agree with Ricky Gervais, we're not going to play the rest of it for the sake of time. We don't have enough time. I just pray. Look, you know you're a sinner. You know there's a God. And the word of God could not prove itself true. It's not possible, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is sufficient for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Every good work. If it is false, it would be easily proven so. But unless you twist the Bible into absurdity and create a straw man, you cannot debunk this book. It is different to every other book. It's different to the Quran, the Ramayana, the Bhagavad Gita. They do not have perfect future prophecy. There's nothing even remotely similar in the Quran. It does not claim future prophecy to be true. But the word of God has about 30% of it. the book of Daniel, future empires, and over 300 prophecies pointing towards the life, death, burial, and resurrection. He would be born of a virgin. That he would bear the sins of his people. The wrath of God would be poured upon him hundreds of years before he was born. Are you going to say, well, that's a coincidence? Will you truly follow the evidence? Or will you reject it because your mind, your limited mind, cannot accept anything beyond what you can comprehend and what you love? Will you reject him? Or will you flee from your folly, from your error, and trust in the risen Savior? He is a willing Savior. If you come unto him in repentance and faith, he will receive you. If you come to him, you will be accepted in the Beloved. I pray that you will. And experience that peace that passeth all understanding. This has been Paul Flynn. May God bless you all.